Chapter 8 of The Crow, Murder Mysteries. Chasing Real Power 7, October 2024. Declan sat comfortably on one of the new public art installations in the vibrant city of Fredericton, New Brunswick, situated on the north side of the Wollastock River. This unique display featured a series of repurposed 45-gallon drums, ingeniously transformed into seats that formed a zigzag pattern reminiscent of a school of fish swimming gracefully through the water. Declan cherished this spot, which he affectionately referred to as his sweet spot, where the chaos of the world seemed to fade away, allowing him to focus deeply on his thoughts. In this moment of serene contemplation, he pondered the pressing issue of climate change and considered how he could contribute to positive change. However, his train of thought was abruptly interrupted by the familiar sound of his cell phone ringing. Quack, 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 quack. It was the ringtone his brother had set before leaving for Halifax. Initially, Declan had removed it, but he later decided to restore it, finding comfort in the memories it evoked. Each time his phone rang, he was reminded of the fun they had together, particularly during their escapades to solve the gallery thefts he dubbed the alternate timeline heist. This time, the caller on the other end of the phone was Sergeant Woods. Declan was quickly ripped back into the real world from his meditation and answered his phone with a broken voice, as if he had just awoken from a long, deep sleep. "What's up? Do you have another case for me?" Sergeant Woods replied. "Sorry, but no. I have something better. Have you heard about that green wind project that's planned for the north side of the city?" Declan was now wide awake and replied with an eager voice. "Yes, just rumors, why?" Sergeant Woods responded promptly, eager to get straight to the point. "This afternoon, the company's CEO will be making a significant announcement, and I've been assigned to provide the security detail. Several politicians are expected to attend and express their support for the green project. Given your passion for environmental initiatives, I thought you might be interested in attending. After all, I owe you one for your help with the last case. If you'd like to check it out, I can pick you up at 1:30 p.m. at the Conservation Council of New Brunswick, the building with the impressive carved doors." Declan was eager to respond. "Absolutely. Count me in," Sergeant Woods replied. "Sounds great. I'll swing by to pick you up at 1:30 p.m. See you then." As Declan was about to reply, his phone suddenly went dead. He had forgotten to charge it up this morning. He opened his backpack and retrieved a compact portable solar panel. After unfolding it and placing it over his backpack, he plugged in his phone to charge. With that taken care of, he settled back into meditation, now thinking about the upcoming event this afternoon. Declan stood in front of the Conservation Council's building, admiring the intricately carved front doors, when a car glided silently to a stop behind him. This was no ordinary vehicle. It was remarkably quiet, almost like a whisper, clearly an electric car. Turning around, Declan spotted Sergeant Woods behind the wheel of a sleek, new electric vehicle. The car boasted elegant lines and exuded an aura of power, resembling a high-performance pursuit vehicle. Sergeant Woods gestured for Declan to hop in, clearly in a hurry. Declan climbed into the vehicle and shut the door, immediately enveloped by the fresh scent of a new car and the pristine, coffee-stain-free interior. Sergeant Woods glanced over with a smile and said, "Buckle up, we're running late." With that, the car surged forward into the bustling traffic. As they sped away, Declan marveled at how remarkably quiet the car was, yet he could feel its immense power beneath him. It was as if the vehicle itself craved speed, launching forward with an exhilarating thrust that left him both impressed that an EV of this size had that much power. Sergeant Woods looked over at Declan and smiled. "What do you think? The force just picked up 5 new EV interceptors. Personally, I have yet to pick up an EV for myself, but after driving this car over a week now, I think I will soon." Declan ran his hand over the dashboard, as if connecting with the very essence of the car. "This is an incredible vehicle," he remarked, with a hint of admiration in his voice. "It's great to see the city embracing the 21st century alongside the rest of us." Declan then looked at Sergeant Woods and asked, "So where is this announcement going to be held?" Woods replied, "It's out on the McLeod Hill Road up on the ridgeline. From what I understand, this project will be a combination of the tall standard windmills with shorter vertical windmills between the big ones, with a field of solar panels around all of them. Plus, working down the hill, there are going to be rows of solar panels about 5 meters apart with rows of grapes under them. They call it agrivoltaic farming." Declan looked at Woods and smiled. "Wow, it seems you know a lot about green energy." Sergeant Woods chuckled. "Not really. I had a detailed project file that I was directed to read up on before planning the security team. With that, once we get there, you're on your own. I will be running around confirming the security details for the VIPs. We can meet up after the show back at the car." Declan replied, "Tracking, stay out of the way. I can do that. By the way, thanks for bringing me along." Sergeant Woods replied, "Not a problem. Just try not to get into any trouble because there will be several anti-climate change protesters at the event." Declan looked over at Sergeant Woods and smiled. "I'll try. But first things first. Why are you really bringing me along?" Declan asked in a direct, inquisitive voice. Sergeant Woods let out a deep sigh before continuing. "I knew you would catch on to that sooner or later." This time, his sigh seemed to release a weight of stress. He then added, "I've heard some rumors from various acquaintances and individuals who have a vested interest in the project on both sides of the issue. It appears there are concerns about items going missing from the job site and project, as well as reports of possible assaults occurring on site. All I need from you is to keep your ears open and see if you can identify any potential problems." Declan replied with a smile, "Happy to help, and yes, I will try to keep a low profile." Several minutes later, they turned off McLeod Hill Road and started up a well-traveled construction road. Declan noticed the road was well-used, meaning significant construction had already happened on the site. He could see a sign at the turn that stated, "Future location for the Northwind Pub and Eatery." They were now less than 1 kilometer up the road when they came to a second left, but this time, there was a police barrier holding back vehicles. There was a large sign stating, "Only authorized vehicles and personnel pass this point." As we came closer to the gate, it opened up, allowing Sergeant Woods to drive in between protesters. There looked to be only about 30 protesters waving signs saying, "Save our view," and "Wind power is fake." There were even ones saying, "The world is flat," and "Green is dark," but by far the best one was, "Too many windmills will stop the wind." Once past the protesters, it was a short drive up the hill to the main temporary taped-off parking lot for all the VIPs. Declan could see, a couple of 100 meters further up the hill, an opening and what looked to be a massive clear-cutting and grubbing operation getting ready for the main construction to start. Once Sergeant Woods parked in his designated security spot, he and Declan stepped out of the electric vehicle. Sergeant Woods glanced at Declan and gestured toward a path that wound its way up the hill before them, culminating in a clear-cut area at the summit. "The announcement will take place up there in about an hour," he said. "After it's finished, we can meet back here." Declan replied, "Sounds good," giving Sergeant Woods the thumbs up. Declan started to climb the steep slope, working his way to the top. As he came to what looked like the top of the hill and the start of the clear cut, he noticed that the ground in front of him had a more gradual slope. However, there was still another 500 meters to what looked like a stage. Declan could not help but wonder why clear cut so much land. It seemed a little bit of an overkill. Declan started to make his way across the open ground and noticed a small sign that stated, viewing platform. Looking up and across the massive clear cut, he could see for kilometers. It was a magnificent view. Just then, he heard another voice coming up the path behind him. "Incredible, isn't it?" said the woman's voice from behind him. Declan responded, "Yes, it is, but why so much clear cutting?" The voice answered, "First, I should introduce myself. I am Natasha, and you are?" Declan replied, giving a slight nod. "That would be Declan." Natasha pointed up the hill. "Well, up the hill, there are going to be two different types of windmills." Then she pointed down the slope directly in front of them and said, "Along this slope, there is going to be a blend of solar panels 3 meters off the ground with a spacing of 4 meters. Each panel row will have a mixture of grapes growing. You see, this is not only a wind farm, but also a solar farm and a vineyard. By doing this, we create what is called agrivoltaic farming." Declan replied, "Wow, it sounds like a very large project." Natasha smiled and said, "That's not all. The plan is to make it a self-sufficient vineyard, and with the section over to the right, we will experimentally test different types of plants that will grow under solar panels. If it all works out, we will supply power to the grid and run a vineyard and eatery. The spot you are currently standing on will have a 3-story restaurant and eatery looking out over the solar vineyard." Declan was stunned by the complexity of the project. "But why clear cut?" Natasha responded confidently. "I understand that it may seem like we've cleared a kilometers of trees, but the reality is that 2/3 of the area was previously a gravel pit. Additionally, we've acquired a plot of land just 2 kilometers down the road, consisting of unused open fields where we plan to plant up to 8,000 trees, significantly more than we've removed. Ultimately, our commitment is to ensure that we plant more trees than we take down. We are dedicated to being fully sustainable, generating our own power, and exploring innovative farming practices." Declan responded, impressed at Natasha's presentation. "Excellent presentation, by the way. What part in this project do you have?" Natasha stood tall and presented her hand to shake hands with Declan and said, "Hi, I am Natasha, the CEO of this project and owner of LTTF, or Looking to the Future Incorporated. And you are?" Declan shook Natasha's hand and answered proudly, "I am what you could call a police consultant and insurance investigator." Natasha smiled and replied, "Nice to meet you, Declan. If you have any questions regarding this project, just ask. But for now, I have a presentation to give and stakeholders to talk to. Have an amazing day." With that, Natasha turned and started to walk up the hill. Declan was very impressed with the CEO. She seemed to have a solid plan to create green energy and create a multifaceted business. Just then, another person was making his way up the path. He was wearing a white hard hat and carrying a clipboard. He stopped in front of Declan and said in an angry tone, "Don't believe a word she said. She hasn't even paid her bills in months, and this project is about to be shut down." Declan replied in an inquisitive voice, "You are?" The man replied, "I am the project overall contractor. I am the one who really gets things done around here. I have subcontractors looking at legal action and planning limited stop work action if this is not fixed soon. But hey, what the heck do I know? Anyway, have a good visit. The coffee and food can be found on the left of the stage." The man turned and started up the path. Declan yelled out, "Thanks for the info and the location of the coffee." Declan made his way up to the stage and made sure he stayed in the back of the crowd and listened to the conversations from reporters and project workers. It did not sound good for LTTF and Natasha. Things are going off the rails, but Natasha seemed to be oblivious to the issues. Just then, he noticed a couple of people moving in the crowd and staying to the back, keeping their heads down and staying behind all the reporters' cameras. Declan scanned the area for Sergeant Woods, but there was no sign of him. his gaze returned to the group of individuals, and he noticed they were holding large firecrackers. Suddenly, he recognized one of the faces. It was a protester he had seen earlier at the front entrance. The protester was engaged in conversation with a man in a dark suit, positioned just beyond the gate and slightly off to the side. Initially, Declan found this interaction peculiar, but he quickly rationalized that the man was likely part of the security detail working the event. Not more than a couple of seconds later, the first large crack went off in the crowd, followed by several more. Chaos erupted. People were running left and right as firecrackers went off on both sides. Some reporters sprinted down the hill, tripping and falling several times. Now covered in mud, they looked like something out of a B-movie. Attack of the Mudslingers. The security team moved to cover the VIPs, politicians, and dignitaries. If you were in the front of the crowd, you would have thought WWW3 just broke out. It was comical, yet disturbing that someone would consider doing this during this event. Just then, Declan recognized the protester he saw at the gate. He was now crouched down, lighting another round of firecrackers. He started making his way towards him when he saw Sergeant Woods on the stage, looking out over the crowd of now chaos. Declan waved to him just as he looked his way and pointed to the crouched figure lighting the next wave of firecrackers. Sergeant Woods leaped from the stage, hit the ground, and did a forward roll in the mud. He brought himself to his feet and, in a full sprint, made a beeline for the protester. Sergeant Woods closed the gap between the stage and the protester so fast that it reminded Declan of something out of an action movie. It was impressive. The protester never saw Sergeant Woods coming, and with a thud, he was down and being handcuffed. By this time, the crowd had scattered to the four winds. All the VIPs were gone, and the smoke from the large firecrackers was dissipating. Declan found a couple of firecrackers that did not go off. They were M80 and cherry bombs, which are prohibited in Canada. Sergeant Woods stood the protester up and passed him to one of his security team members. Sergeant Woods bent down to look at the remaining firecrackers and looked up at Declan. "You all right, Declan?" he asked in a concerned voice. Declan replied, "Never better. Thanks for asking." On another note, I saw that the protester you just handcuffed was at the front gate when we came in earlier. He was talking to some guy in a black suit. I first thought it was one of your team members, but not anymore after this. Declan looked around the now somewhat deserted stage and noticed Natasha having a heated argument with what looked like the same man from the front gate earlier. Declan started walking towards Natasha and her friend in the dark suit when he stormed off, leaving Natasha alone behind the stage. Declan motioned to Sergeant Woods to follow him as he walked towards Natasha. Once they were within 10 meters from Natasha, Declan yelled, "Natasha, do you have a minute?" Natasha nodded yes, as she could see Sergeant Woods coming up behind Declan. As they arrived, Declan immediately hit Natasha with the first question, "Who was that you were talking to? The one with the dark suit?" Natasha looked in the direction he had departed and then looked back. "That was my chief operations officer. Why?" Declan replied, "Just curious." Asking a follow-up question, "There was someone with him." "Who was that?" she replied. "That was our chief clerk. Why? What is this all about?" Declan smiled and said, "Nothing. I am just trying to understand everybody's role in all of this." Natasha snapped back. "Roles in all of what?" "Listen, I have had a terrible day. If you have something important to say, say it. If not, take a hike. I have work to do." With that, Natasha turned and stormed off down the hill. Sergeant Woods chuckled and remarked, "You really know how to make friends, don't you, Declan?" Declan quickly shot back, "There's more here than meets the eye, Woods. Something isn't right with LTTF. Sergeant Woods furrowed his brow in confusion and asked, "What on earth is LTTF? Declan turned and began walking toward the parking lot, glancing over his shoulder as he replied, "Sergeant Woods, could you keep our protester in the parking lot for a moment? I'd like to speak with him before you take him downtown. Please have him stand by your car. Thanks. And before you say anything, yes, it's important that we talk to him, or at least let someone see that we're having a conversation." When Sergeant Woods and Declan reached the parking lot, Declan could see the protester in question standing on the far side of the car where it was difficult to see him. Declan stopped about 10 meters from the back of the car, turned around, and scanned the crowd as if looking for something or someone. Just then, he walked 5 meters to the left, away from Sergeant Woods' car. Sergeant Woods looked at Declan and said, "Declan, he is over there on the other side of my car." Declan replied, "I know, but I need him here," pointing to a spot on the ground. "No, wait, over here," and pointed to another spot 3 meters more to the left, and went on to say, "I need him now, please. I can explain shortly." Sergeant Woods waved to his team member who was holding the protester in question and motioned for him to bring him over to where Declan was standing. Sergeant Woods was still somewhat confused about what was happening and was just about ready to shut this whole thing down when Declan abruptly said, "This is what needs to happen. Have the protester stand where you are in that exact spot. I need you standing beside me on my left. Trust me and play along." Once the protester was in position facing Declan and Sergeant Woods, Declan smiled and addressed the protester. "Good day, sir. I need to check something. How is your vision? Is it good or just okay?" The protester responded, "My vision is excellent. Why?" Declan smiled and said, "That's good. If you look over my shoulder towards the walking path entrance, you can see a red car. Can you point to it for me?" Without hesitation, the protester pointed to it. Declan said, "Excellent, thanks. Just one more thing. Can you point to the big oak tree behind me, the one turning red over by the crowd of people?" Without hesitation, the protester pointed directly at it. Declan turned around to make sure everyone in the crowd who was looking could see him pointing. Declan turned to Sergeant Woods and said, "This is when you turn around and point to the tree as well. Trust me." Sergeant Woods turned and pointed toward the large tree. Just then, you could see Natasha's chief operations officer in a dark suit turn and run in panic, sprinting towards his car. Declan smiled, looked at Sergeant Woods, and said, "You might want to bring him in for questioning." Sergeant Woods signaled to one of his security team members and yelled, "Stop him!" With that, the chief operations officer ran even faster. Declan wondered how far he would get before being apprehended. Apparently quite a ways, they finally stopped him after a 20-minute high-speed chase. Sergeant Woods looked at Declan and said, "What is this all about?" Declan replied with a smile, "I will explain on the way back to the station." Declan now knew what was happening at the LTTF site and the green energy business. With luck, and the old saying by John Bradshaw, human beings are creatures of habit. Disclaimer: this is a fictional report part of the Crow Murder Mysteries book. Interview: Sergeant Woods, COO, Brian Wilson, LTTF, firecracker incident and alleged embezzlement of funds from LTTF. Paragraph 1. On the 6th October, 2024, at approximately 2 p.m. at the site of the future LTTF project, several protesters ignited several illegal fireworks with the intent to disrupt the event. Second investigations point towards alleged embezzlement of $2.9 million+ Canadian. Question: so why did you pay the protesters like David Foster to use fireworks to disrupt the LTTF event when you are the COO for the company? Answer: no response. Question: what do you have against LTTF company and this project? Answer: no response. Question: after talking with David Foster's, which I might add is cooperating with us in this investigation, and the embezzlement of funds investigation from LTTF, we currently have you as the primary person of interest. Were you working alone, or were you forced to do it? Answer: No response. Question. Not a problem. We have Kim coming in again. She has pointed the finger at you for all of this. Answer. No response other than a confused look. Question. If you're the chief operations officer, why try to destroy the company? Answer. No answer, but the expression changed to a look of panic. Question. We have the books for the company, and we know you have been embezzling millions from their accounts over the past 6 months. It's just a matter of time, and we will link you to the funds. Answer. Okay. Someone has been a little creative with the books. Perhaps it is Kim, our chief clerk. She has direct overview and control of all funds going in and out of the accounts. You should talk to her. Unless she has left the country, she is probably the one you need to track down. Question. Yes, that is correct. The chief clerk is under investigation, however. She has decided to be a witness for the Crown and points to you as the man in charge of embezzling all the money. Sorry, but they have all turned on you. Answer. Fine. I have help from people with a lot of power that do not want to see this project happen. Let's just say, big money. I will be taken care of. This interview is over. Charge me, or I walk. Question. I have to ask, why damage the company? What have they done to you? Answer. They have done nothing to me. This is all about money. Big deal. A white-collar crime, and I will be taken care of. We are done. Charge me, or I am walking. I have a flight to catch. Interview concluded 6th of October 2024 at 7:30 p.m. Interview, Sergeant Woods, Case Senior Detective and Security Detail Team Leader, FEF 604. Disclaimer. This is a fictional report part of the Crow Murder Mysteries book. Interview, Sergeant Woods, Protester, David Foster's Firecracker Incident. Paragraph 1. On the 6th October 2024, at approximately 2 p.m. at the site of the future LTTF project, several protesters ignited several illegal fireworks with the intent to disrupt the event. Question. So, why use fireworks to disrupt this event? Answer. No response. Question. What do you have against LTTF in this project? Answer. No response. Question. It's only a matter of time, and we will find your friends that help you with this attack. How about helping us out and give me the names of your friends? Answer. No answer. However, the comment calling this event an attack made him a little nervous. Question. How do you know Brian Wilson, the COO? We saw you talking to him before the event? Answer. No response, other than a smirk. Question. Let's drop the questioning about the attack, and let's jump to the millions of dollars that have been embezzled from the company. What part in this did you play? We know you're involved with Brian Wilson, the COO, and I would hate to see you take the fall for all of it. That's a lot of years behind bars. Answer, no answer, but the expression changed to a look of panic. Question. So, what part did you play? We have you connected with Brian Wilson, and we have him connected to embezzling millions from the company. Answer, nothing. Look, I have nothing to do with that. All I did was disrupt this event, as I was paid to. Brian said he would pay $500 each if we disrupted the event. He said that he was just the go-between, and someone else wanted the event and company to fail. He said some big money people needed the Green Project to fail. I only fired the fireworks, nothing more. Any embezzling has nothing to do with me. Question. So far, all the evidence points to you and Brian. Do you have any information that tells us otherwise? Answer. I have had several meetings with Brian, and he has never said anything about embezzling money from the company. He did say someone was paying him a lot of money to make the company fail and that I would get some of it if I helped. You know, the typical stuff like protesters disrupt events, slash tires mess with the contractors, and just cause delays in the project. No embezzling. I had nothing to do with that stuff. Question. So, you did more than just fire off fireworks? Answer. I am not answering any more questions. Interview concluded at 7:45 p.m. 6 October 2024. Interview, Sergeant Woods, Case Senior Detective and Security Detail Team Leader, 5604. October 2024. Declan and Sergeant Woods arrived at the downtown station and parked in the secure area at the back, where the protester and the chief operations officer were already waiting for Sergeant Woods. For Declan, the situation was straightforward. His primary goal was to ensure that the police had the necessary evidence to present in court. He was determined to see the Green Project move forward as intended. Once inside the station, Sergeant Woods and Declan settled into Woods' office with cups of coffee, strategizing their next steps for interviewing the two detainees. Suddenly, a knock echoed through the room, accompanied by a soft voice. "Sergeant Woods, are you in there? This is Corporal Matthew from the Financial Investigation Section. I have some information for you." The voice began to fade, uncertainty creeping in. "If you're interested, that is. I'm not sure if you are." It trailed off into a mumble. "Perhaps I should return later when you're not so busy. I can come back tomorrow, if that works better for you." Sergeant Woods swung open the door just as Corporal Matthew began to walk away, muttering to himself. With a commanding tone, Sergeant Woods called out, "Corporal Matthew, do you have something for me?" "Yes, sir. Sergeant," Corporal Matthew stammered, visibly flustered. "I've been investigating the financial conduct of several local companies, and I stumbled upon some concerning information regarding the Green Project that was disrupted today. There are several critical issues you need to be aware of." As he hurried into the office, Corporal Matthew fumbled with his paperwork, accidentally dropping the main stack onto Sergeant Wood's desk. In his haste, he knocked over his coffee, splattering it across the desk. In a desperate attempt to clean up the mess, he grabbed Sergeant Wood's documents, only to create an even bigger disaster. Sergeant Wood stood by as chaos erupted in front of him. A faint grin flickered across his face, but it quickly faded when he noticed his reports being used as makeshift paper towels. With a commanding shout, he exclaimed, "Enough! Just stop! I'll handle this." He strode over and snatched the papers from Matthew's hands. "What is it that you want, besides wreaking havoc in my office?" Corporal Matthew took a step back, clutching a stack of documents that were now stained with coffee. With a determined thrust, he extended his hand, splattering coffee across Sergeant Woods as he declared, "I've got it. This is the evidence that something is amiss at that Green Company." He handed a copy to Sergeant Woods and another set to Declan. As they began to sift through the papers, it quickly became clear to Declan that the documents were merely financial spreadsheets, devoid of any compelling information. He glanced at Sergeant Woods and noticed the disinterest etched on his face. Seeking to redirect the conversation, Declan waved his hand to catch Corporal Matthew's attention, then made a subtle circular motion, signaling him to continue and brief Sergeant Woods on the situation. Corporal Matthew, now exuding newfound confidence, resumed his explanation. "It appears that several million dollars have been siphoned off by someone at the top of the company." He paused briefly before continuing. "Evidence suggests that an individual in upper management, likely within the main office, has been embezzling substantial amounts, potentially millions, over the past 6 months." Sergeant Woods, still wiping off coffee from his uniform, asked, "I take it you have the burden of proof, but moreover, do you have a suspect?" Corporal Matthew replied confidently, "Yes." "Well, maybe. We are still tracking down the offshore accounts and their owners, but it looks like Brian Wilson and Tina Jones's names keep on popping up." Declan said, "Brian Wilson is the chief operations officer, and Tina Jones is the chief clerk of LTTF, the company creating the Green Energy Project." Sergeant Woods turned to Declan, curiosity etched on his face. "How did you come by that information?" he inquired. Declan grinned, leaning back slightly. "Oh, just some classic detective work." he replied with a hint of mischief. You know, sifting through mountains of paperwork, following up on leads, and pounding the pavement. He paused for effect, then added with a chuckle, Or maybe I just glanced at the company information sheet, like the one you're holding, which seems to be still dripping with coffee. Sergeant Woods turned the sheet of paper in his hand over, revealing the comprehensive organizational structure and senior management details of LTTF. A smile crept across his face as he chuckled softly. Well, would you look at that? He continued. It's clear now. Brian Wilson and Tina Jones are the ones responsible. Case closed. Declan, wearing a confident and somewhat smug expression, declared, Incorrect. Although, you're partially on the right track, if that makes any sense. He rose to his feet and gestured toward the paperwork in Corporal Matthews' hands. What you're holding is evidence of potential embezzlement. However, the incidents that unfolded today at the project site, that's an entirely different matter. There's far more at play here than mere greed. Much more. Declan glanced at Sergeant Woods, a clever plan beginning to take shape in his mind. A sly smile spread across his face as he turned to Woods. We've established a connection between the protester and Brian Wilson, the COO. What if we shift the focus onto the protester? If we apply some pressure, he might just crack under the strain. This could lead us to uncover the truth and ultimately tie Brian Wilson to the missing funds. Sergeant Woods turned to Corporal Matthew and said, Matt, please move our protester to interview room 202, the one with the large one-way window. After that, in about 5 minutes, have Brian Wilson relocated to room 203 across the hallway. Additionally, I need you to arrange for Clerk Tina Jones to be brought in for questioning. He paused, locking eyes with Corporal Matthew. Can you handle that? Corporal Matthew replied, Yes, sir. I mean, Sergeant. It's not a problem. I can take care of it. Should I clean up the coffee mess first? Sergeant Woods frowned slightly, his tone firm and urgent. Matt, what do you think is more important right now, cleaning up coffee or catching criminals? Corporal Matthew replied hesitantly, his voice tinged with uncertainty. Catching criminals. Sergeant Woods beamed at him, saying, Good choice. In that moment, Corporal Matthew dropped the remaining paperwork onto the desk, inadvertently knocking over Declan's coffee and spilling it across the desk. With a chuckle, Declan pointed to the only dry spot left. Looks like you missed a spot. As Corporal Matthew began to clean up the mess, Sergeant Woods interjected, Matt, we've got this. You can head out now, gesturing toward the door. You have other things to take care of. With a nod, Corporal Matthew turned and exited, closing the door behind him. Sergeant Woods let out a sigh of relief. Finally, that's over. Declan smiled and replied, Matthew means well. After all, he just brought you the evidence you needed to crack part of this case. Sergeant Woods raised an eyebrow and asked, What do you mean, part of it? Declan picked up the coffee-stained paperwork from the desk and remarked, I believe the firecracker incident is unrelated to the embezzlement issue. There seems to be more at play here than just embezzlement. He paused for a moment before continuing. That said, I'm going to grab a fresh cup of coffee and review the financial reports. In the meantime, I think you'll be occupied with a couple of interviews. Several minutes later, Declan sat in the now tidy office, sipping a freshly brewed cup of green tea when Sergeant Woods walked in. Declan looked up and asked, So, did you find anything? Sergeant Woods shrugged and replied, Yes and no. We can likely pin the embezzlement charges, but the situation surrounding the firecracker incident is murky. The suspect keeps mentioning connections to someone powerful with deep pockets, claiming he would be taken care of. We'll continue our investigation, but I'm not sure if we're making any real progress there. The bottom line is that LTTF will recover their funds, and the project should proceed as planned. Declan nodded thoughtfully. I'll keep digging into the planned company disruption to see if I can uncover anything. Honestly, This sounds like a rival trying to sabotage them. Are you going to brief Natasha tomorrow, Woods? Sergeant Woods responded, his voice tinged with concern. Yes, at least she can keep the Green Project on track. Now she'll also be aware that there's someone out there trying to undermine her efforts. It's crucial that she's prepared for whatever comes next. Declan felt a profound sense of satisfaction with the recent developments. Both COO Brian Wilson and the chief clerk of LTTF face charges, and a significant portion of the missing funds was successfully recovered for the company. Additionally, David Foster's was held accountable for the firecracker incident. However, Declan couldn't shake the unease that lingered, stemming from the presence of forces resistant to progress and actively working against change. One thing is certain. We are living in a time of transformation, where every challenge calls for unwavering persistence, a steadfast commitment to truth, and a genuine openness to change. True leadership is often characterized by the ability to guide and inspire others, fostering collective action toward a shared vision. In this context, Sergeant Woods and Natasha, the CEO of LTTF, stand at the forefront, collaborating tirelessly with many others to combat the environmental consequences of our actions and safeguard the future of our planet. Chapter 8 of The Crow, Murder Mysteries, Chasing Real Power. Thank you for listening.